today's daf is daf nun ches. It's the beginning four lines from the top of the two dots. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nosin Laha Kol Shuma. We saw this machlokis in the Mishnah yesterday, that if she were to marry or engage to a Kohen, and a 12-month period expires, so she's allowed to start eating Chuma. So the Rabbi Tarfon told us in the Mishnah that you give her everything Chuma, the entire thing Nosin Laha Kol Shuma. And Rabbi Kiva says you give her half chulin and half chuma. And the reason why you have to give her some chulin is because during the times when she's bimei tumasa, bimei nida, she's not allowed to eat chuma, so she has to eat chulin. So according to Rabbi Kiva, so give her chulin, so she has what to eat when she's bimei nidasa. Rabbi Tarfon says no, you could still give her chuma, and she could just sell off the chuma to another kohen and use the proceeds to buy chulin for herself. That was machlokes Rabbi Tarfon versus Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara now says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Machlokes bibas kohen lekohen, the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon only exists when she comes from a family of Kohanim and marries into a family of Kohanim. Aval bibas yisrael lekohen, divra kol mechsa chul mechsa chuma. But if she comes from a base yisrael, she was born as a czar, as a non-kohen, and then she marries into a kohen family, then you give half and half.
What happened to Eshet Kohen when she's married and she's in Ida?
She cannot eat chuma.
What she's doing with it?
She sells it.
She sells it.
The truma.
They don't buy it. They get it as a truma.
No. But you're allowed to sell it to a kohen. You get the initial. The farmer who has it must give it to a kohen as a present, as a truma. Once the kohen has it, he's allowed to sell it to another kohen.
Some kohen has more. Some kohen has less.
Sure. Yeah. Not every kohen is going to necessarily get chuma. Also. I'm the farmer. I give to whoever I want. So there could be a very popular Kohen who gets a lot more than the other guy who nobody likes. He might be stuck with nothing.
And he must eat Tumah, the Kohen.
No. He could eat anything he wants, but he has to work. They worked in the Beis Hamikdash twice a year, 2 weeks a year. They didn't have a job. They didn't have property. They didn't have much to work with, so they're anim for the most part. So if he didn't get money from Chuma, so he has to work out, make money elsewhere. So if you look at Rashi, this is around the 8 lines down. There's no bold here, but there's a 2 dots. It says Bas Kohen Bekiyin. I think it's 8 lines down, 9 lines down.
Yeah.
Bas Kohen Bekiyahi Bishmiras Chuma. Bas Kohen, she's raised into the house of Kuna, so she knows how to properly guard against Chuma. Ulamocha to sell be made Tumasa. She's familiar with this concept. However, the next Rashi says that Bas Yisrael ain't a Bekiyin Bekach, she doesn't know how to do this. So that's the reason the Gemara Bai qualifies this machlokas. That if she's a Bas Yisrael coming into a Kohen family, she doesn't know. She's not a Bucky in buying and selling Bitimei Tumasa, not eating Chuma. So we have to therefore give her Chulin until she's what to eat. She doesn't know how to sell the thing. She's not familiar with that concept. It's new. But Bas Kohen to a Kohen, then she gets the full amount of Chuma. She already knows how to sell the Chuma. And then the Gemara says, Abaye, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, further qualification, Amar Abaye, Machlokes Barusa. The debate only exists when she's only engaged. But when she's fully married, then everyone agrees that she gets half and half. So look at Rashi to this explanation. Rashi in the bold says, Barusa Ubas Kohen, referring to a Bas Kohen. If it's a Bas Yisrael, so she gets the full amount, even, she gets half and half through and through. But if it's a Bas Kohen who gets engaged now, the whole the Hebe Beis Avia, Tarach Avia, Limkor, Chuma Bechulin, Nimei Tuma, Lefi Shehu Ragil Bekach. So Bas Kohen, so she's not the one, if she's, that's before she gets married, before she even gets engaged, her father's doing all the buying and selling. So the father's going to buy some Chuma. They used to, it was more public when the women were Betaras Nida, because it wasn't only effect, nowadays we're more private, because the only thing it affects is the Isser to her husband, so we don't talk about such inyanim. But back then, when it affected how she touched Chuma or Kudshim or Taros, so everybody knew when they were Nida. They actually wore different clothing. So the father knew when the daughter was Benida, so he would go out and take the Chuma and sell it so she has what to eat. So when she's a Bas Kohen and she's still a Rusa, but she's still living in her father's house, her father did all the buying and selling for her. But now once Aval B'Nesua, says Rashi, Shenosein La Baila Mizonis Bebesa, now she moves over to her husband's house, Kagon Mishra Isha Idei Shalish, the time of season. So with the husband, it sounds like she's not actually living with the husband. But where the husband now takes full responsibility of everything, so then Rashi explains the next line is, Mech Sechulin, the Fisha Kol Kvud Abas Melech Penima. So she's not going to go around buying and selling. That's not now how she's, but Sanua, she's a Kvud Shekol Kvud Abas Melech Penima. Her father and her brothers are not around to be osek with it. So what about the husband, though? Shouldn't the husband be the one buying and selling? So
he's not dealing with him.
Right, so I wonder why that's the case, though.
It says beveta, not beveto.
Right. So why? So she's living in her house by herself, and where, but she's married. Where's her husband?
No,
right. So it has to be a case like that. It's a further okimta. It's not all nesua. It's only nesua. She would besa bilvada. That has something like that. I wonder if others argue in that pshat, because that doesn't seem, it makes the most sense. That's not what the Gemara's impression is. I thought maybe pshat would have been if Einech Hanami, the brother, she's married, but maybe this, as a husband, he doesn't know that responsibility yet. He hasn't learned yet how to buy and sell. His father was doing it all, so he wasn't used to this. It was a new concept for him. Let's just see. Okay, I don't see anything here. So then the Gemara quotes a brayso. So now there are two qualifications before we quote the brayso. The two qualifications of when she gets half and half, when she gets the full amount. When she's a bas kohen, so she still gets the full amount when she's in the father's house. But bas Yisrael gets half and half because she doesn't know how to buy and sell yet. And if she's arusa, so she gets the full amount also of truma because her father and brothers are going to sell for her. But when she's been nesua, she no longer anyone is around, and assuming her husband's not around, no one's around to help buy and sell for her. So Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanya Nami Hachi. The brisa says the same thing, which supports the opinion of Abaye, Rabbi Tarfon Omer. No sin la kol truma. You give everything. You give truma for everything for truma, and she buys and sells but made to masa. Rabbi Kiva Omer mechse chul mechse truma. No, you give half and half. When is this true? That you give her the full amount, according to Rabbi Tarfon. But when she's a Bas Yisrael, even Rabbi Tarfon will agree she gets half and half because she's not a bucky yet how to buy and sell. And furthermore, another qualification is Barusa, only when she's engaged. Rabbi Tarfon will also agree that if she's a Bas Kohen who now gets married, she too will get Mechsa al Mechsa because no one is there to be Osek in the buying and selling. The Barusa continues to say, in the different opinions, the Mishnah didn't quote these, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, Nosin Lashte Yadol Shachuma Vacha Shachun. You actually split it up. You give 2/3 Shuma to 1/3 Chulun. That's how they split it up. Doing some of the math, let's see Rashi. Rashi explains, you see Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nosin La Kol Shuma. Bein Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Tarfon Ika, Deila Rabbi Tarfon Tavar Nosin La Chuma Kedei Mizanoseha. You give the full amount according to Rabbi Tarfon. Vava Pishim Tzich El Chulin Ba Limkor Chuma Ein Dme Chuma Magin Likach Behen Chulin She Yekarin Heim Na Chuma She Kol Kof Sin Aleim. So what ends up happening is there is still somewhat of nafkamina, but it's not so much of an nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon, because in the end of the day with Rabbi Tarfon, when you sell the chuma, it's not such a demand for the chuma because there are only so many kohanim. So it's not such a hot product. So you have to sell it at low prices. Now, when you have the money, you have to go buy chulin. So the chulin's much more expensive because everybody wants the chulin. More people, there's more demand for that. So you're going to lose a little bit of what you're going to be using. She gets $100 of chuma, but she sells it and only gets $70, let's say, of chulin. So she's going to lose a little bit of amount. Rabbi Yehuda nosin la chuma kishir she'im basa likach mechza chulin lo tifchos. So Yehuda says you give her the amount of chuma, like the amount if she were to buy half that of chulin, she wouldn't lessen from the half of chulin. I think what he's trying to say is end up being the math is the same at the end of the day. It's just a tircha. The question is the tircha.
Meaning it's not the math. The value in money is the same that she's getting.
But when she sells a chuma, he's assuming she's going to get,
according to both of you, she's going to get 100 shekels of truma, of food. Question is, you know, how she's getting it.
Right. So you, Yehuda ben Beseir said you give her two amounts of truma.
Because when she sells it, she's going to get one amount.
Exactly. She'll get half that back.
And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he gives her everything, so he gives her the equivalent of two amounts of chulin.
Right. Well,
which could be depends on the price at that moment.
But it says, again, Rabbi Tarfon says you give, let's say we're talking about 100. So you give 100 amount of chuma according to Rabbi Tarfon.
Right.
But when you sell, let's say during the periods when she's tame, you sell 50 of them, you only get back 25 of chulin. So that ends up being one chulin to double amount of chuma.
Right. He gives her 50 of chuma and 25 of chulin. So by the time she's done.
So you everyone says you require 75.
Right.
75 apples, let's say. So Rabbi Tarfon says you start with 100 apples because she's going to end up losing 25 of them when she sells the truma for the chulin.
I'm surprised how they didn't bring them in that some rare items, meaning not all food equal in prices. Some merchandise is more expensive than others.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's assuming right now the ratio of truma to chulin is equal across the board for all fruits.
Yeah.
That's a good, very good point. But I guess on average, I guess a general average ratio of truma to chulin would be 50%.
Why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah say that?
Because issue of tircha. We don't want her to sell.
But he's already giving her chulin.
Right, he agrees to retire from the end of the day how much food she needs, 75 apples. But he doesn't want her to go out and sell chuma. It's not right for her. It's tircha for her. We want to make it easier for her. So instead we give her chulin for the times when she's been made tumah. So she could stay home and just eat.
But if we hold that she's half the month tumah and half dam and half month not, should get half and half because it's amount of food that she's getting.
But the truma is cheaper.
But no.
And he doesn't have to sell it. She can eat.
No, you're saying, like Rabbi Akiva, you're saying?
This is when she, yeah. No, so, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah.
Right.
When Rabbi Beterah, she eats when she's tahor, she's truma.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's tamer, she gets chulin.
Mm-hmm.
So she should get half.
No,
the truma is more available.
Ah.
Because he's giving her exactly what she needs. Why should she give her more truma?
Right, so the point might be is that she may not be, it's not really half and half, because the truth is, bizmanha, the Gemara,
right, so the other option is that she's two-thirds of the month she's tahor, and
right.
One-third of the month she's tahor.
Exactly, right.
Explanation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because before we mentioned half-halves. Where did we mention half-halves?
Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
But but now doing the math, she's not really going to be tummy for a third of the month. It's really she's going to be tummy only for a quarter of the month. Because Midiraisa, a woman who's nida, is only tummy for 7 days. And that's it. There's no Shivanakim, nothing like that. So according to that, the calculation 7 of a month is only a quarter of the month.
Oh,
so what? Shivanakim.
But this is already a time of Rabbanan, so you have to assume that they took in account.
Uh-huh. So much. No, Rashi doesn't discuss any of the math.
Right.
I don't think we saw this before either. Okay. These things have to be worked out then. By going right to the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda, just Rabbi Yehuda Stam now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as a fourth opinion, Omer Nosin Lahakol Truma, you give everything Truma, which is like Rabbi Tarfon, let's see if there's a difference. You give everything as Truma. V'hi Mocheres Lokachas B'damim Chulin. And she sells and buys with the value of she buys chulin.
This is the Rashi, and this Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, there's this Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so I did the wrong one. Oh,
right. This is the Rashi.
Ah.
This one, the Tarfon's the one who says that kol truma. He doesn't say chazik.
Oh, so I made a mistake then. Okay. So this Rabbi Yehuda is what the Rashi is referring to. So that sounds like Rabbi Tarfon. So that's the difference between the Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yehuda. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, she has to go buy and sell. According to Retarfon, though,
she needs to buy.
So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you give her the truma.
She loses.
According to Retarfon. No, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to give her more truma than Rabbi Tarfon. To give enough truma, if you sell it, you get the amount of chulin that she's supposed to get.
Rabbi Tarfon, she gives her how much she has to eat, and if she doesn't have enough, it's too bad.
Right, if she sells a truma and loses out, that's her fault.
Right.
Okay, so everything, our whole past 10 minutes was really...
No, I was taking that in account, but it still doesn't change.
Also, so Roche says that Rabbi Tarfon says that she'll just give it to her father in a one-for-one exchange.
Uh-huh.
Truma for the chulin, and he won't...
According to Rabbi Tarfon.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Yehuda says she sells it.
Yeah, she has to sell it.
Uh-huh. And there's not so much of a difference. Rabbi Yehuda, this way will be. Yehuda, yeah, so will be.
She doesn't lose because her father is going to give her one-to-one.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
He will make a profit.
So according to, if that's a reasonable svar, why would Rabbi Yehuda Stam, why wouldn't he suggest that? Just do one-for-one with the father. Why have to sell it? Okay.
The old one.
Didn't want
to
count on that
relationship. Right. Okay. So fine. The Gemara says further. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Makom Shehuzgara Truma Nos Lakfalaim Bechulin. So anytime you mention Shuma, you give her double in Chulin. Rashi explains Nos La Truma Kfalaim Bechulin. Kesavar Lo Machichin Lal Mocha Bishavi. We don't make her sell it to find the guy who's going to buy it for the actual value. We want it just to sell it.
He gives her twice the Truma.
Yeah, exactly. No, we don't want to be machiacher to make sure to only sell it for the actual value. We let her sell for even cheap. This way, when she sells it for cheap, yeah. Since she has double the amount of chuma, Rashi says, Ela nosin la chuma harbe. You give a lot of chuma, kadesha tinra, bazul, vitim salokin harbe. So she ends up having the same amount. But it's possible to find someone who's going to buy it at value, but that's a lot more tircha, a lot more work. So Gemara says, in the end of the day, my benayu, the last line of this section, my benayu, ik benayu, tircha. That's a part of the discussion with the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon now are the tircha. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't require so much tircha. Yehuda says, no, if you want to not lose money, so be matriach more and look for become a better businesswoman and sell it for the right value. Okay, so that's I think we had five different shitas in the giving of the truma to this woman. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Yavam ain't a maichel b'truma. A Yavam is not able to feed truma to the Shomer's Yavam, the woman who's waiting for her brother-in-law to make a decision of Chalitza Nibam. He is not allowed to give her truma. My time, says the Gemara, what's the reason for this? Kinyan Kaspa, Omer Rahmana. The Kohen is only able to feed a Kinyan Kaspa, something that he owns, that he acquires, is he able to feed truma. V'hai Kinyan De'achavu, but this is not his Kaspa, this is his brother's Kaspa, so therefore the Yavam is not allowed to feed the brother. What's interesting from this Gemara, it sounds like this: the fact that I would have thought that this is not even considered his, there's no Shaykh as well, there's a Zika here, but why would you even need a Pasuk to exclude his ability? There's no marriage here. So Gemara sounds to be assuming that there must be Zika here, and the only reason why, there's a Gezeres Kasa that exempts him from this. Look at Rashi for a second here. Okay, Rashi doesn't make any comment about this. Okay, the Gemara now says further, also says Shisha Chadashim Bifnei Baal. So the Gemara had different, the Mishnah rather, had different situations that you need 12 months in front of the Baal. Engage the Baal while he's preparing. If there's even one day, for if the time expires, that the husband has to feed her and also feed her truma if he's a Kohen. Before she's married. But let's say one of the 12 months, one day rather, one day of the 12 months, he was Nafal Liyavam, or if it's six and six, whatever time period you create, if it's not a full 12 months, then she does not get the mizonos. So the Gemara says, why give all the different examples? We have three different examples of the Yavam Baal 12-month period. Hash b'fnei Baal amrs lo, b'fnei Yavam mibai. So now that we said in front of the Baal, she doesn't get, Rashi explains, what does it mean, hash b'fnei Baal? Look at four wide lines down in Rashi. Hash b'fnei Baal, chutz miyom echad. If she had all days in front of the Baal, except for one day, the last day her husband died, chutz miyom echad, says Rashi, amrs lo achla, she's not allowed to eat. Then kul b'fnei Yavam da yado ein la lechel, so then if she falls to the Yavam, is it not obvious that she's not going to have to be, she's not going to be fed by the Yavam? That's certainly not true.
She was fed by the husband.
No, she's not fed until 12 months. The rooster doesn't get fed until 12 months. 12 months come and then they don't get married, then the husband has to start feeding. During the 12 months, she's on her own. She's getting ready, getting the jewelry. So one wants to know why these different cases. If it's 11 months and 29 days in front of her Baal, and then her Baal dies, she doesn't get fed. And certainly if it's 6 months and 6 months or any other type of split, she certainly wouldn't have to get fed. So Gemara has this line, which requires some hesber, Zuvein Tzarech Lomar Zukatani. The Mishnah says this case, and needless to say, this other case as well, the Mishnah, in essence, the Mishnah ends up writing an extra case, a case that wasn't needed to be taught. And the Gemara does invoke this concept a number of times.
Both cases were with the husband and the Yavam. It's just a month of time.
Exactly. Yes. So if they're 11 months, 29 days in front of the Baal, and she doesn't get fed, certainly if it's 6 and 6, correct, she won't get fed. So Gemara says, you're right, the Mishnah taught some extra cases. Now, usually we have the concept that extra cases are not taught in the Mishnah. Mishnah, every single word is extra, supposed to teach us something else. But nonetheless, the Gemara does invoke this concept, the zoo ain't tarach lomar zoo. Sometimes the Mishnah does have superfluous cases. I can't explain why this is, yeah.
She was an Arusa, she fell in front of the Yavam.
Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further, Zu Mishnah Rishonah. The whole discussion that we've been talking about in the Mishnah was all according to the first institution. But after that, they had changed. The Beis and Shacharim had changed this, and they said that a woman's not allowed to eat truma until she actually enters into chuppah. That was the conclusion of the Mishnah.
No matter how long,
exactly. So Gemara says, my time. What was the reason for this, that it's not until chuppah that she gets fed? So Amar Ulav, Yisema Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mishum is Simpom, because the husband might find some type of mum that he didn't know beforehand, and the whole relationship, and it turns out that the Kedushin was B'Kedushi Talis in the first place. They never really gauge, and therefore she shouldn't be eating Chuma, and she's eating Chuma B'Isser. So Bishma Ula. So I understand. So remember, let's backtrack historically. Midaraisa and Arusa married, engaged rather, to a Kohen to allow to eat Chuma. And then the Chacham said she's not allowed to eat Chuma because she might feed her family some Chuma because she's still living in the house of her father. They said she can't eat Chuma while she's in Arusa. Then the next halacha was, but if 12 months expire, then she's allowed to start eating Chuma. But then the second institution said, no, and we shouldn't allow that because, for some reason. So Ula says, because Simpon, because maybe there's a Mum, so therefore, it may be a Kedusha Talis in the first place. So the Gemara explains now, Bishma Le'ula, this all makes sense according to Ula. Kemaisa, the first reason why an Arus in general cannot eat Chuma is Shema Yimazu Lo Kos Beves Avia, that she might pour some wine for her father or brother. Basraisa, the second Gzeira, why an Arusa, even after 12 months, cannot eat Chuma, Bishum Simpom, because the husband might find the Mum and say the whole Kedusha Bespetos. But Ella Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Kemaisa, Shmuel Bar Yehuda felt the initial reason, we saw this yesterday, is that the reason why an Arus in general cannot eat Chuma is because Mishum Simpom, the Kohen might find a Mum and say the whole Kedusha Betelos. Ubasraisa, now this also the second reason here, as the reason why even after 12 months expire, she still can't eat Chuma is the same reason, Mishum Simpom. So my Benai, what's the difference? They're both reasons are because of a Simpom. So why make two separate takana? Just say one takana. She cannot eat Chuma until she gets into Chuppah because of Simpon. So Gemara says the following is the difference. Ike benayu, there's a difference between each takana. Bidikas chutz. In doing an external inspection. Mar savar bidikas chutz shma bidika. Umar savar bidikas chutz lo shma bidika. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi will explain this three lines from the top. My benayu, what's the difference? Kilomar ma ro rishonim lahatira mihigizman. The initial takana was, Arusa cannot eat Chuma, but after 12 months, she can eat Chuma. And then after that, Mizman Ve'elech, Umar Ro Hachon, why did the later Bezdin think, Lomar Achi Dikanach the Chuppah? They had to extend it even further until the Chuppah. What was the reason for this? So, Mar Savar Mishnah, we showed in the first Mishnah, the first teaching, the first Bezdin, thought that a Badika's Chutz in the external inspection, Shibotka Biyad Krovosov. The way it used to work was the husband, where they had a base of Merchatz. They didn't have like personal bathrooms and showers. There was a big public base of Merchatz. So he would send his cousins, his sisters into the base of Merchatz and make sure there's no mumim. So they, initially that was an external inspection. That was enough. And that Shma Badika, Rashi explains, the Kodim Shiyotzi Ma'osav B'mizinoseh, before he starts paying money for the wedding, Kfar Badka Hilkach Tzulo Chayshin L'Simpon. He already did the investigation. He's willing to put the money up front. But Bezdin Shacharem, Rashi explains, a later Bezdin felt Savri Eina Badika, an external inspection is not enough, Ad Shemis Yachidima Hu Atzma Bodka, until they actually miyachid with each other, and there's actual chuppah, only then will be considered a Badika. So therefore they said, you cannot marry her, you cannot give her chuma until there's actual chuppah, and he's fully aware of what's going on, and he's willing to stay married.
So when we said the first reason Mishum Simpon is that it's Mishum Simpon external Simpon.
Exactly.
And then the second Simpon is internal.
Exactly. Simpon. Right, or hidden moon.
To cut it open. All the ends of that. It's good.
This is not a trade.
It's fine. Says the mission now, Hamakdish Maisa Yedei Ishto Harei Zu Osa V'Ochelas. So there's Halacha, the Rashi alludes to a mission later on, that this is in I guess 6 days from today, that she has a certain amount of mizonos that she gets, that the husband supports her, and any of the money that she makes goes to the husband. So if it's, let's say, one-to-one, everything she makes one-to-one, husband gets to keep all that money. He gives her $100 a weekly allowance, let's say, of food, and she makes $100 a week, so that goes straight to the husband. So let's say he says, all the ma'asiyah de'isha, anything she's going to do, all that money, the $100, is going to be hektish. It's not going to be hektish. The Mishnah Paskins, the Gemara will explain this. But the halacha is she could work, and she's able to still eat. Rashi just explained here, Ein Maisi Yadeh Kadosh Alpif. It doesn't work. No effect. The hektish doesn't work on this. Gemara will explain why. Let's say Hamosa. Let's say he says all the surplus. Let's say she makes $150. So she makes $50 in surplus to the $100 that she owes him. What's with that? And he's makdish that. Rabbi Meir Omer, hektish, it works. Rabbi Yochanan Hatzandler Omer, chulin, no, it has no effect. So Right, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi just explains about the surplus that she makes. Hamoser, Rashi says, Hikdish es moser maisi de ishta. He says any surplus she makes is going to be hektish. Mashi oselo yoser arahai shepasku chachamim. She makes more than she has to give him. So she has to only give him $100 a week. So she makes $150 a week instead. Vlo hikdish maisi de atman. He doesn't, not a case where he's makdish her hand. That's a different case. He's makdish what she makes. Her salary, he's makdish. Hamoser kanoi lo b'meo kesef. The moser is actually acquired by the husband if he pays her mea kesef shetiknu l'chacham sheyitain la b'chol shevach Shabbos mea kesef l'tzorcha levad hamazonos hakedetam masizim. If he is willing to give her more money per week, weekly allowance more than the amount of mazonos, then he even gets the moser. So I think the way it works is as follows. So that's actually, in addition to the mazonos, he also gives her a weekly spending allowance.
Yes.
So corresponding to that spending allowance, she has any most, any surplus she makes also goes to him.
What do you mean, makdish et ha-hekdesh?
He says any money that she makes, it's coming to him. So I'm being makdish that money before it even gets to my hands, that I'm makdish at the moment she makes the money, that's hektish. That's what he's attempting to do.
Meaning what?
The hektish, the money, the value has to go to the base of Mikdash to keep.
Oh, so hektish in regards to Beta Mikdash.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Is it the money or is it the excess money above the whatever it is, 5 slime of work that she's expected to make each week?
But here it says mevor she tmurat mezonotea zakaya baal beikar maseyadea, meaning that whatever she makes, the basics he gets, it's against mezonos. The high no mashe chayevet laasot keniska utmurat hamea shehu noten la bechol shavua. The additional he gives her, who's zocheh b'motar maseh yadeh, whatever extra she makes on maseh yadeh. Dehainu, kol ma sheyoseh yoter
hachovata. Above the 5 slime. He's being makdish, what's above the 5 slime?
No, I thought the surplus.
So here's Mishnah oseket
ka'ed,
b'mi shemekadesh et hamotar bilvat.
Right, so let's say.
Ve'lo ikar maseh yadeh. He's just giving hekdesh the additional she makes. Whatever she makes normally, he's not makdish.
But why is Rashi says she usually makes five slime? He just decided. There's always cases like this. Is it Hamagdish? Somebody's Magdish the Motar.
Rabbi Meir Omer HaRezeh HaKdesh.
Meaning he said, okay, whatever you make extra, I put it in HaKdesh. So Rabbi Meir Omer, it is a good HaKdesh.
What happened?
The Mishnah says, Maisi Adesh Ala Umahi Oselo, Mishkal Chamesh Slime.
So that's for the...
That's the baseline Maisi Adeha that she should be producing.
And then the Mosar, though. Let's see.
So he doesn't say her base Maisi Yadeha or Kadosh, just the excess.
Okay, maybe the Gemara will explain, but I guess you're right. The Moser is...
Okay.
It's a big Mishnah?
No, it's like the first... Because it says you have to look on Hara 10. On Nun Tes Amud Aleph. But it's huge. Because he has all the different days.
Okay, so it doesn't seem so clear then. Is that what we're saying? So what the Mishnah does tell us, though, each week he has to pay for mezonos and give an additional mea kesef of allowance. That's what comes out. So now any Maisi Adeha she makes goes to him. If it's the baseline of, if it meets the weekly allowance, it goes to him, right? The was a 5 shekel we said?
5 slime.
5 slime? That goes to her. Now if she decides to work more and make some extra, so that most, that
also goes to him because he gave her this
100
mark.
Regardless of how much she makes, that ultimately goes to him. But he cannot obligate her to work for that amount. He can make her work to make the baseline. You can't just sit home and do nothing. You have to make some money to weave a nice sweater and sell it. But to make the mosar, that's up to her. But if she does do it, it really goes back to him. So now that extra, that surplus, is the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, whether that hekdesh is chal. But certainly by the Ma'aseh Yadav, the baseline, that's not hekdesh according to both opinions. So let's see what the Gemara explains. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Yechola isha lomar lebaila eini nizonos veinu ose. The woman could opt out, the wife could opt out and say, I don't want to be fed by you, nor do I want to do any work. I want to be on my own. So she's on her own. She's allowed to. Why? Because the whole purpose of the tekana in the first place was for her benefit. So she has guaranteed mizonos. And if she can't make it, she's going to look for a job. If she can't make a job, she always has who to support her. If she wants to go out on her own, that's her own choice. So she's opting out. She's saying, I don't want the mizonos, and I want to keep the money to myself. She's a big businesswoman. She knows she'll be successful. I don't want to give any money to you. Let's be independent. We'll have separate bank accounts, but we'll stay married. So, and again, the only reason why we gave Ma'aseh Yadav is because of Eva. He's going to say, wait a second, I'm working all day, all week, and I'm busy feeding you. You're sitting back doing nothing, getting massages and manicures all day. It's not fair to me. So you should work a little bit and help out and help support the family. So that's the idea. But if she's opting out, then there's no Eva here. Chi amra einin izonas. And when she says, I don't want to be fed by you, I don't want to do any work for you, I'm on my own, she certainly has that right. Meisive, the Gemara asks the question, quotes a brisa later on, Tiknu mizonos, tachas ma'aseh yadeha. The mizonos were in place of the ma'aseh yadeha. It sounds like the ikar takana was that the husband has rights to ma'aseh yadeha. And since the husband has rights to ma'aseh yadeha, we then give her mizonos. As opposed to what we just said before, really the mizonos was the ikar, and the Ma'aseh Yadav was Tachas Mizonos. So the Gemara tweaks that language and says what it really should say, Ema, Tiknu Ma'aseh Yadav Tachas Mizonos. Now really, we this Daf Mem Zayin or so. Yeah. It says, right? So really, and also later on in the test, it's quoted here, in tomorrow's Daf. So really, the Mizonos is the Iker, and instead of that, so in place of that, we made the Mizonos, the Ma'aseh Yadav, go to the husband. But the Iker kind of was for her to have Mizonos. So Lema Masayle, maybe our very Mishnah, this staff, is going to support this concept. Lema Masayle, Hamakdish and Maisi Yadei Isho, a person who is Makdish his wife's salary, let's say, Hare hi Osev Oches, she's allowed to do work and eat. I mean, it's not Chal. My La bin Nizonos. So is this not talking about a case of Nizonos where she gets fed. See, Rashi says, "My la bin nizona, sheyesh lo nechasim vakish lizona," where he has property, he has what to give her, and he asks to feed her. And he has no right because she could always opt out, even though he may be lemaisa, she's getting fed currently. It's not his bailus over the maisa that she could always opt out. That's why it's not chal. Where it says lo b'sheinu nizonas, it's a talking about a situation where she's not being fed. She already opted out. That's why he cannot be makdish ma'aseh yadav. But the implication is, if she is currently being fed, he has every right to be makdish ma'aseh yadav. So Gemara says, wait a second. Ib b'sheinu nizonas. If our mission now is talking about where she's currently not being fed by her husband, she's off on her own. So
nizonas, Rashi says, is he doesn't have what to. Because if the alternative to her opting out, it's that it's in his. The alternative to her saying that ain't his own is what? That he could say, I don't want your mice to die, and I'm not going to feed you?
No.
No? He would have to give her mice.
Yeah.
The alternative is he would have to give her.
Yeah.
So what's the case then of Bishain and his onus? Rashi's bothered. What's the case of Bishain and his onus?
Why can't be a case where she opted out?
Because this is the alternative. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya that she could opt out. She could opt out because it's her power.
Mm-hmm.
Gemara says, no, it doesn't have to be talking about, it's not a raya. If you're talking about, okay, she ain't in his onus, and it's not her opting out, she's talking not getting his onus, so that's why she doesn't give Maisi a dime. It's not because she elected not to get, it's because she's not
but getting. If she elected to opt out, then certainly it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't, the alternative, she can opt out. She can opt out.
Well, no, wait.
This is a case where he's not giving her, so she's working because he's not giving her. Not because she opted. She has no choice.
Right. The alternative to her being allowed to opt out is that she's never allowed to opt out, right? It's because the takana is not for her, it's for him, right? He's the one who's in control of the takana, so to speak. But even if he's in control of the takana, it's a fixed takana. He can never opt out. It's just that she doesn't have the option to opt out.
But we're trying to, the Gemara, before we brought this, our mission in, the Gemara was saying that it's her takana, it's for her benefit, and she has the right to opt out. I mean, initially wanted to bring a raya for this, that the fact that he cannot be makdish her ma'aseh yodea tells us that it's her rishus, it's her option, and that's why he has no ability to be makdish. And the Gemara says, no, it's a case where she's not being nizones, not where she already opted out, but where he has no means to support her. But so I'm still by, why couldn't you say it's a case where she already opted out, which would imply if she did opt out, then he would have full control.
Why couldn't? Because the Gemara now wants to counter the Raya to say that she, it's her koach to opt out. The Gemara is now taking the other side of the argument to say that, no, it's not a Raya that she can opt out. Maybe really she can opt out. If she can opt out, why aren't the Maisi Adayim?
So we're trying to prove that she can opt out.
Gorman brought this as a riot to Rafuna Marav, who says that she can't opt out.
Right.
So now they're saying, no, it's not a riot she can opt out. It's not a riot she can opt out. Why is it a case? So Gorman says, it's talking about a case Shein and Nizonis.
Mm-hmm.
What's Shein and Nizonis?
That is that she already opted out. That's, we're trying to disprove that.
Right. What's Shein and Nizonis? And the Baal wouldn't have an option to opt out. So Rashi's forced to say that the Baal doesn't have anything to give her.
Okay, very
so
good.
It's a case where, even though she doesn't have the koach to opt out, he's breaching the takana because of the fact that he has nothing to give her, not because he can opt out.
Okay, very good. Okay. Okay. So now we say our Mishnah really is talking about a situation where the husband has no means to support her, and that being the case, since he's not actively supporting her, he has no rights in the Ma'aseh Yodea, and that's why the Hekdesh is in Chal. So the Gemara asks on this, Ibishena Nizonos, if he's not supporting her, Maila Memra, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? Of course he has no rights to be Makdish, there's no Chiddush here. Because Afilu Man Damar Yachal Arav Lomer Levit Asim Mi Vein Zancha, the Gemara is here in Gittin tell us that a Rav, a master, could say to his Evid, go work for me and I'm not paying you. He has every right to do it to an Evid. But that's only Hani Mili Be'Evid Kanani, only by an Evid Kanani, the Lok Sebe Imcha.
What kind of person will work for free?
No, it's not free. It's where you own the Evid Kanani. It's a non-Jew. You own him. You bought him. He's your Evid Kanani. It's halacha. I'm not by any way saying that you treat them any differently and treat them like garbage.
I don't care about the treatment. You'll work for me, but go get some money somewhere.
So I know you're Israeli, but if you look back in American history in the times of slavery in South Africa currently and other places, this is not a crazy thing.
Oh, yeah?
There's such a thing as slaves.
How he makes money. Probably the guy making all day work for him.
Correct,
so how does he make how does
it?
He
just
eat?
Says if you go to Gittin, it'll say that there's a machlokus about whether you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a political, because usually
a
very
careful
there's a
machlokus about whether you're allowed to say that. So.
Yeah. So even the man damer, even the one who says that you are allowed to tell the Evid Kanani, work for me, and figure out how to make food on your own. So that's only by an Evid Kanani, because the Pasuk doesn't say delo imcha, that you don't have to be with me, as opposed to a Val Evid Ivri, a Jewish slave, that you have to give him everything you eat. If you sleep on a nice pillow, you have to give him a nice pillow. If you eat nice food, you have to give him nice food. That everyone's equal. Lo, you have no right to do that. But Koshkin Ishton, certainly one's own wife, you can't tell her to go off on your own, work for me, and make your own money. So of course it's Pashut. If you're not feeding her, so certainly you don't have rights to Ma'aseh Yodea. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? We're talking about Einu Nizonas. Of course the Hekdesh won't be chal on the Ma'aseh Yodea. He's not supporting her, so her money's not going to him. So Gemara says, you're right. That part of the Mishnah, the Reisha, was unnecessary, but it's really the Seifa, it's the Rechle. The Seifa about the Mosar was necessary. What does the Seifa tell us? Mosar, Rabbi Meir, Omer HaHekdesh, Rabbi Yochanan, San Omer Chulim. That Rabbi Meir thought in this case it would be Hekdesh, and that's the Chiddush. The teacher Rabbi Meir thinks it would be Hekdesh in the case of the surplus. So Rashi just explains this out a little bit. Seifa, it's the Rechle. Lashminan, plugs are the most. But most, they have to teach this debate about the surplus of money. De lo shayach amizonos, viafa gav de einon izonos, even though she's not currently being fed, ik lamand amar, kadosh l'acher misa kishir shena. When she dies and he inherits her, the hektish that he said 2 years ago is going to automatically be chal when she dies and all that food, all that moser goes over to the husband. That was the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even though she's not being fed by him, he still has rights to be makdish the moser.
Surplus is the mutar.
Sorry?
Mutar is the surplus.
Yeah, exactly. Extra, the surplus.
Tafka after Misa.
Yeah, it sounds like he has no rights. That's what Rashi says. He has no rights during Bechaya. I think the Gemara is going to address this, maybe.
Let's see. He's giving her this mug. Well, I guess is he not giving her that also? I guess he's not giving her that too. He's in his zonas. He's not giving her anything.
Ah, right, yeah.
So he's not giving her the mug kesef either. Right. But the Moser, he still has some...
There he has more of a connection to them than the actual Maaseh Adah for some reason.
So basically, the Tana is saying that even though he's not giving her anything, he cannot be Magdish or Maaseh Adah, but he can be Magdish the most or Maaseh Adah.
Right.
And we don't know why is that.
We don't know why, exactly. Let's see, I'm not sure if the Gemara is going to explain. Yeah, I think the Gemara on the bottom is going to explain this if we get there to the two dots. So let's see further. The Gemara points out now, by the way, that this pligi the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish happens to argue on this idea that the language Hadamar Reish Lakish lo tema time of the Rabbi Meir mishum de kasaver al the makdish davar shelo balilam. The reason why Meir thinks that the Moser is makdish, don't tell me it's the reason because he thinks in general one can be makdish davar shelo balilam. A person can be makdish something even though it has not yet entered the world. That's not the svar of Rabbi Meir here. El, the reason Remeir allows the most to be hektish is time of the Remeir mitoch sheyachal akofa lemais yadeh nase komer la yiktish yadecha losem. Since the husband has every right to force her to work, so it's as if he said to her, your hands are going to be hektish. Says Rashi. See Rashi, davar shelo balilam, kigon mais yadeh shekdeshin ad shelo hasan. You can't be makdish and maaseh adah. Her actions don't exist yet. She didn't do the maaseh adah just yet. Next, Rashi says, lo sen l'mi shebaran, to the one who created them. V'yadayim isnei be'olam. The Reish Lakish explains that why is the hektish chal? It's because he's being makdish her hands, which do exist. Her hands are now like gold. They're hektish. Al makasavar yachal akofa, v'ni yachal olomar ini nizonas v'ni oseh. We see from this that he can force her to work, and she's not able to say, I don't want to get fed by you. She cannot opt out, Reish Lakish says. That's why he has every right to be makdish her hands.
Oh, so this Remeir has nothing to do with the Remeir of our Mishnah. This is a Remeir in Erechin.
This is a Remeir in, according to Erechin here.
Because according to, Pliga de Reish Lakish, it has nothing to do with the way we just typed the safe of the Mishnah, because that was already going against Rav Huna Marav. That was on the counter-argument. So that's starting going all the way back on Rav Huna Marav's statement that's arguing Reish Lakish.
You're saying this is not Rabbi Meir of the most, this is talking about Rabbi Meir in general might hold that you can makdish maaseh adah. I think we're going to see this. I think the Gemara might be quoting a statement of Rabbi Meir regards to Chulin. Yeah. Okay. So what comes out, again, according to this machlokas right now, is that Rav Huna, Amar Rav, felt that a woman may opt out. I said, I don't want to be fed by you, and I don't want to give you any of my maaseh adah. Reish Lakish argues that's not true, that she's not allowed to opt out. He feeds her, and he has full control of her maaseh adah. He could force her to work, and he therefore can be makdish her maaseh adah. So the Gemara says, "V'ha lo amar la," but he didn't say this to her. Hachi, he didn't say this idea that I'm being makdish your hands. So what's his line saying here?
Right.
Rashi explains that he only said to her, "Is ma'aseh adah are going to be kadosh," but he didn't say that your actual yadayim are going to be kadosh. So how can Reish Lakish interpret Rabbi Meir saying that when he says Ma'aseh Adah, he really means her hand will be kadosh, because that's Isnaya Be'olam. How does that make sense? So Gemara says, Kevin the Shamina Lady Rabbi Meir, since we heard another statement of Rabbi Meir, Amar Ein Adam Motzi Dvar V'Levatala, since a person doesn't say any unnecessary word, every word he says is for a reason, It's as if he said, your hands are going to be kadosh. Because once a person says, my sedecha are going to be kadosh, and since it can't work because ain't other maktish davar shelo bal yolam, a person cannot be maktish actions which have not yet entered the world yet. So he's not, and he's also not saying unnecessary words. It must be that he's referring to her actual hands, which do exist in the world, and that's why it's chal. That's how we reinterpret Rabbi Meir's understanding of this case. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. The Sava Rabbi Meir ain't all the maktish davar shelo bal yolam. Rabbi Meir is the opinion who thinks one cannot be maktish. Not true. He holds, as we were about to see, that one can be maktish davar shelo bal yolam. A person may make maktish something that has not yet entered into the world. Hatani, as the Brisa teaches us, ha'omer li'isha hariyat mekudesh li'lacha shis gayer. If a person says to a woman, marry me after I convert, o lacha shitis gayri, or after you convert, or lacha sheshtachre, or shivcha, after I will free, or I guess in Eved Kanani, after I become free, or lacha sheshtachre, or after you become free, or lacha sheyomos balech, or after your husband dies, o shetamos achosecha, or your sister dies, I guess he's married to her sister, o lacha sheyachlos lacha yivamecha, or the yivam is cholitz you and lets you go free. Any of those cases, Rabbi Meir, Omer, mikudash, it works. So Rabbi Meir allows it to work. You can be maktish, kedusha, right, by the way, right now, we're assuming Kedushin and Hektish are one and the same. That's the connection. We're talking about Hektish here. And the Gemara brings the Brisa about Kedushin. So it's not a crazy thing to say Kedushin and Hektish are the same. That's in fact what the Gemara tells in Kedushin, that Lashon of Kedushin is Lashon of Hektish. It's a Lashon of being assuring her to the rest of the world. So there's this correlation between Hektish and Kedushin. So to hear, just like Rabbi Meir holds, that one can be Mekadish, he can marry, engage a woman, even though it's missing an important statement. She's not Jewish yet, or he's not Jewish yet. Even though it's lo davar b'shalom yet, he still can do Kedushin. So to by Hektish, one can be Maktish davar shalom b'shalom. So why were we assuming before that he wasn't holding by that svara? Gemara says, Me'ahi in Mehal Lekel Mashmim Mineh. From the case we just brought, the Bryce about Kedushin, you're right. He certainly says a person may be Maktish Davar Shelo Bal Yolam. But from our case, initially, by the case of the Ma'is Yadea, we have no indication, there's no implication at all that he holds of such a Svarim. That's why we didn't take that route. But Eina Chanami Rav Meir's Shita in general is that one can be Maktish Davar Shelo Bal Yolam.
How in the world can a Goy tell a Jewish woman, after I become a Geyer, I'm going to be married to you? He's Megayer. His mice, the Amira, or the Misa, whatever it is that he did that creates that Kedushin, happened when he was a guy.
So Tosos asks a similar question, not quite about the action, but about the actual person, about him being not a Davar Shelo Balam. He's a Tinok Shinola, he's a Katan Shinola Damu. So you're focused on the mice, he's focused on the gavi.
What's he doing? Is he giving her kesef right here, or is he
he's giving kesef. Lechor, the kesef has to still be intact. Might tell in machlokas and kedushin, person who gives kesef and says, let's get married in 30 days from now. So Rav and Shmuel say, let's say the money runs out by 30 days. Is that kedushin going to be chal or not? So one, I forget who says which, but one says only if the money is still intact, so then the kedushin's still, the mice is like holding. It's in limbo, and it's chal at 30 days if the money's there. Others say no. The action was, and even though it was a tanai that it won't be chal until 30 days, but you don't need the money to actually exist. So it might be tali on that machlokas.
Here it says something really strange, because it says that you say hariyat mekudesh lechar sheit gayer o lechar sheitit gayri. And here in pointers it says akum shekidesh Yisraelit o Yisrael shekidesh batakum en kidushem chalim. But it doesn't explain why is he saying that.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. I'll look in the back for a second. But if you look at Tosas, meanwhile, see Tosas la'acha she's guy.
It's,
yeah.
It's explaining because
Rameir right. Says it is
right. Rameir is saying that because of that, because he says that right. Right here is explaining why he says after Titgari doesn't say right. Okay. Right. So when they become, right. So it doesn't answer. Right?
Okay, but if you look at Tosos again, a similar question, but not quite the same question as Adam. That Tosos asks, "Dibur maschal achashe as gayer, vim tomar the besoper kama the gitten." I mean, dafilu remeir damar adam makne davar shelo bal yolam. That's a sheet in general that one can be makdish something that's not in the world yet. something that is actually in the world, though. About davar shelo b'olam, something that has not entered into the world yet. Lo, meaning like dekel the perosov and stuff, where the tree is in existence, where the food are not necessarily. So, but here, b'hal la'achas she has gayer having the davar shelo b'olam. A person after he converts, he's kikatan shenolo dami. He's a newborn person. He didn't exist in the world before him. So I think we had this question when we learned Yivamos also. I think David actually asked a similar question, and Tosa suggested. Ve'omari, he says here, Dila'acha she'ez gayer lo chashiv kokach davar shelo ba'aliyolom. After the person converts, he's not viewed as completely like being reborn. Kevin she'aguf ba'olam eloshim b'chusogeris. The body exists, physically is there, he just lacks the spirituality yet. So that's not considered a davar shelo ba'aliyolom, according to Tosa.
I can get over how the mice is considered a mice.
Right.
This is a sugi that you have to be addressed. It comes up in the Gemara and Kedushin as well. Imagine Kedushin where the Rishonim address this. That's my guess. But I'm not seeing anyone addressing it here in the back. But my guess would be it has to be connecting to Rav and Shmuel. I have to connect to that case, Rav and Shmuel.
So we're saying that in this case you cannot really learn that Rabbi Meir says Adam Makna Gavar Shmuel Adam because it was actually here. It's not something that was never here.
No, the answer is that the discussion here, I think, there's no indication that Rameir is using that svara. He might hold that svara in general, but since Rameir doesn't seem to be working with that svara here, we have to give another reason why he said what he said by Ma'aseh Yadav. I think that's what it was saying. Right. If you had this brisa alone by Ma'aseh Yadav, you wouldn't know his shita. For some reason, we're trying to look at this brisa in a vacuum. So not knowing Rabbi Meir's sheet in general, we have to give another svara. Maybe it's because of he must be that ein adam moti dvaram levatala. But once we know elsewhere that his sheet is that he can be maktish davar shelo bali olam ein achnami, that would also make sense here. Right. That's all the Gemara is, I think, just viewing this as in a vacuum. Okay, let's go by to now, the two dots. Gemara says, Moser Rabbi Meir omer hektish. So the Gemara told, the Mishra rather told us that if he's maktish the surplus of her actions, according to Rabbi Meir, it would be chal. So asks the Gemara, Emas Kadosh, at what point would the Hektish be Chal? So Rav Ushmuel, Damir Tervaya, both of them say, Mosar Lacher Misa. That's why Rashi was alluding to that before, that the Mosar after her death, it's Kadosh. That's when it's Kadosh, only after she dies. Rav Ada Bar Ava Amar, Mosar Mechaim Kadosh. Now already when she's alive, it's going to be Hektish. So the Gemara doesn't explain the reason for this. So let's see. Havi Bei Rapapa. Rapapa wanted to, he was asking, he was inquiring, B'mai, what is the case? Ilema B'mala La Mizonos, if he's supporting her with Mizonos, U'mala Me'a Kasev L'tzarcha, and he's also giving the $100 of allowance for the week, for all her expenses. So my time demandam L'achar Kat Misha Kadosh. Why does the opinion, why does the Rav and Shmuel think that only after death is the Moser Kadosh? He's doing her part, so she has to do he's doing his part, she has to do her part. Meaning all the Moser, everything's going over to him. He has every right to be Makdashit, even Mechaim. So Ella must be a case, Kishen Mala Lamazonos. It's a case where he's not supporting her at all with food. V'lo Mala Lamea Kasev L'tzarcha. Neither is he paying her allowance. So if that's the case, my time of demand Amar Mechaim Kadosh. So why would the Barava think that even Mechaim, the Hekdash will be Chal? He's not giving her anything, so she doesn't have to give him anything. So Gemara says, what's the case here? So the last two lines of the Amr, the Gemara says, Liolam bimala lamzonos ve'enamala lamayakasav l'tzarcha. He's giving her food, but he's not giving her the allowance for the week. So therefore, since he's not giving the allowance, he has no right for the Mosar. So what's the machlokas now? Rav Shmuel Savri, tiknu mizonos tachas masyadeh, u'masyakasav tachas Mosar. So the mizonos, the ma'aseh yadeh, rather, are in place of her receiving a mizonos. So since she receives mizonos, so all the ma'aseh yadeh go to him. The me'a kesef goes in place of the mosar. V'cheven, Gemara explains, v'cheven, the lo ka yahiv le me'a kesef, mosar didahavi. And since he's not paying her the me'a kesef, she gets to keep the mosar on his own, and therefore the hektish is not chal mechaim, it's only chal mishas misa after she dies and he inherits her. And Rav Ada Bar Ava savar tiknu mizonos, Tachas Mosar, Umer Kesef, Tachas Maaseh Yadeh. He switches everything around. That the Mizonos, she gets fed the Mizonos, and then she gives him the Mosar. The Umer Kesef, the allowance, is in place of the Maaseh Yadeh. The Chavin the Koyav Le Mizone, Mosar Didei Havi. Since he's giving him the Mizonos, so then the surplus actually goes to him. So what's his debate? So what happens regarding The Mosar, what about the actual, I guess she gets to keep Ma'aseh Adah then. Everyone agrees Ma'aseh Adah, the Hekdesh won't be Chal. Okay. So B'maikim, if we get two more lines, what's the Machlokas here? Mar Savar Midi D'Shchiach, Midi D'Shchiach, Mar Savar Midi D'Kaitz, Midi D'Kaitz. So one that's common, Rashi explains the top line here, Mizonos D'Shchichi, that's common, obviously she needs food every single day. U'Ma'aseh Adah D'Shchiach, also all her, you know, her base salary, that's also common. Mosar Lo Shchiach, but her surplus, her extra time, her overtime, is not going to be Shchiach. So therefore we match up Ma'aseh Adah, which is Shchiach, with Mizonos. But at the same time, Rashi continues, Me'a Kesef Kaitz, it's a set allowance for the week, $100 for the week, U'Ma'aseh Adah Kaitz also, and she has a set salary for the week, and in the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Mishnah, Mahi Osa Mishkal Mechamei Shlam, how much she has to make per week. So therefore the other opinion thinks it's better to match up something Kaitz, namely Me'a Kesef, with Ma'aseh Adah, which is Kaitz, as opposed to the other two. And that's the Machlokas, what was in place of what. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here.
So the whole reason why he says